Attention Crusaders, you are now listening to Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. By the will of the immortal Emperor of Mankind, it has been decreed that the following broadcast of Vox Arcana may not be suitable for all ages. The views expressed on this Voxcast are solely those of the individual providing them and do not represent the opinion of this station, website, or any affiliated partner. Audience discretion is advised.
Attention on the battle fleet. This is Captain Ramaskos of the Imperial Star Cruiser Vox Arcona. Please listen carefully to the following announcement.
In accordance with the Codex Astartes, we hope that you have a productive trip to Arcona and arrive with the will to deliver the Emperor's judgment. Thank you.
So, hi, how are y'all guys doing?
Hey, I'm okay. Yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I've been running around killing Templars and trying to think of questions that weren't the usual dreck you guys get. So
that's our job.
Yeah, I understand that, but if y'all have listened to the podcast, I don't like asking.
Yeah.
Can I have a dreadnought?
Yeah. Good. So. Good.
Yeah, I got almost through your last podcast before we started talking. So I heard you talking about the dreadnoughts and ponies and stuff.
wait, which podcast? You mean the Spice Girls one that I just let
yes,
out? Or?
Exactly. Your secret is up.
That was horrific. we were both so punch drunk right at that point. We were just like, we got to put something out. Let's just go with this. So anyway, I'm probably going to release this as a separate thing. We're probably not going to wait till the end of the week, or we might because our work schedules get stupid. We'll go from here. Sorry, I get distracted and sidelined sometimes. Obviously, I'm here with Brent Ellison, the lead game designer, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the titles and going back through Into the Warps trying to get the exact names. And
I don't even remember titles here.
that's fine. Half the time, I don't even know what I'm doing. So, like Darren's like, hey, we're recording. And I'm like, what, recording? Anyway. And, of course, Katie Fleming, the community manager, both from Eternal Crusade, and both really awesome people that I enjoy following every week through Into the Warp. I'm just here to ask you guys some questions and get the burning answers that people just need to know.
Yeah.
Now,
very good.
Right, and now for our listeners at home, I'm going to run through the de facto questions that you get every week, so you're not like out of your element. Are these the final graphics for the game? Can I play Dreadnoughts? Can I play Scouts? When's the Orc Twitch? When's the Eldar Twitch? And can I have a pony? I needed to get those out of the way. That way, just kind of get you into the warp vibe, so we can talk about the game and other stuff too. So,
right.
So, why don't I guess we can start with Brent. Why don't you kind of go into some details about kind of what you do at Behavior and like what does that all involve?
Okay, so I'm the lead designer. So that means that I am managing the game design team and also doing a lot of coordination with all the other teams that have anything to do with the content that goes in the game. So, for example, most of my work involves writing documents, making tasks in Jira, which is our tracking software, which results in other people having to do work, and making lists and just following up and going back and forth with people and sort of setting direction on the project. I am running around a lot all day, or people are coming to me at my desk, and I'm just sort of trying to steer the game in a particular direction and more frequently iterate on what it is at any given time.
And make people do work.
mostly I am generating work for other people. And we have, we have four game designers on the team, including myself, and we have something like 20 programmers, and then plus artists and all that. So, like, you know, there's actually a lot of people per designer, that so there's lots of work to be generated.
Oh yeah, well yeah, I mean, because the thing is, and this is something that, you know, we've been doing the podcast. We did about four, and then we took a year off or so. But like just watching, you know, week over week, and of course it's been about a year now. Just if we go back and listen to the first one, look at the first End of the Warp, just so much work has gone in, and especially since, because like y'all changed engines,
yeah,
right? And so basically that's like a step
that's
backwards.
Well,
to
we
move
prototyped.
Forward.
Yes, that's
we,
right.
We prototyped in a different.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. There we go. That's what it is. No mistakes. No mistakes. Just just forward progress. So what games you are? Well, Katie, what about you? Because I know bits and pieces about community management, but being as I talk to, I've had the opportunity to work with a number of different community managers across a number of different games. So like, what does community management at Behavior mean?
Right, so a lot of people think I just sit on Facebook and Twitter all day and have a great time, which is part of my job, absolutely. But I also do a lot of the marketing and communications, which is, of course, all behind the scenes, so nobody actually knows what I'm doing. And Twitch shows every week, of course, and updating the website and babysitting Warpy, you know.
Ah, yeah, babysitting Warpy. That's an important
task. That's a full-time job on its own, right? I mean,
Warpy is code for Nathan.
I knew it. I knew that. I win that bet. No.
A good mix of a lot of things.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And I do want to take 1 second to give a shout out to Gigabyte, because I know he's in a different time zone, so he can't be here today.
He was literally, I mean, like, he was sitting in ashes and wearing sackcloth. He was so sad that he was not going to be able to make this. Like,
reschedule.
Well, no, the problem is Darren is in the UK, and so there's a 6-hour time differential, and it would have been crazy. Plus, he's working, so I told him that
another day.
Yeah, I told him, you know, in this last episode which show do I do? A Vox Arcana. I told him in this last Spice Girls podcast. That's my secret, top secret project. No, I told him in this last episode of Vox Arcana that, you know, the next time that some of the guys head over to Europe or whatever, we might, you know, get them to line up that way so he can get one on his own and I can sit at home and cry. I can be the ugly daughter, the ugly sister. It'll be great. So do you have any like community manager horror stories, Katie, or
horror stories?
it can be anything, really. I just, you know,
I'm glad I don't have her.
well that's got to be the, I mean, and I don't mean to ask a question and then not let you answer, but that's got to be a crazy thing, being a community manager for an alpha, for a game that's in alpha, because like half of, like, almost anything, you guys say it every week, like almost every single thing is up for change, and so you've got to be the person that interfaces between the developers and the community, and if the community ain't happy, then they make it known.
Yeah, I look both ways before leaving the building every day. No, but horror stories, not really. I mean, I on a different site that I do, I had a stalker once a long time ago, so that was definitely a horror story.
Yeah.
It made things interesting for a while, but no, I mean, the community is super awesome, and nothing psychotic has happened yet.
Yet.
Yes.
We are dealing with those dirty chaos players, and you never know what'll happen. Oh, wait, no, I forgot. Never mind. Nothing. I love you guys. No. So what games are you guys playing or playing around with when you aren't trying to crush us underfoot?
So Katie only plays Left 4 Dead and Killing Floor. Occasionally Tomb Raider.
Yes, and Hitman.
Oh, yeah, when there is a hit, yeah.
Yes. Work for hire.
Right. So what about you, Brent?
Oh, sorry, I answered your question.
Or do you want Katie to answer for you?
Yeah, there you go. No, let's see. Lately, I was playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid, the new one.
Not a fan of pain.
And The Witcher, which is probably my favorite game this year. This weekend, I got totally hooked back on the old Dark Sun RPG back in the day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've been like tweeting about it and stuff, but like, like it's so good. It still holds up. Like I love old CRPGs and that whole like era, and most of them do not hold up. Like, you can't play them. The interface is miserable. But Dark Suns was actually good enough, and the content was strong enough, even though the game is actually pretty ugly. But I just can't stop playing it.
Graphics are nice, but the gameplay sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've mentioned it before. Like, you can have a beautiful property, and there are a ton of MMOs out there that are graphically just gorgeous, but either it's the UI or it's something about the back end mechanics that make the game clunky, and you just don't want to touch it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Pretty much.
Yep. I had that problem with one of the more recent MMOs. I won't name it because I'll wait and blast it when I'm podcasted safely, and you guys, and away from the fact that you guys would have to either agree with me or disagree with me, and that would put you in a bad position.
We could just mute our mic.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I had issues with Skyforge for their leveling situation, which is just horrific. But anyway, and there was the mute. Awesome. So, let's see. So, Brent, where have you drawn the most, we'll actually ask you an Eternal Crusade question now. That'll be awesome. Where have you drawn your most inspiration from Eternal Crusade? Like me, what shapes my 40K worldview is Dan Abnett. Like, he's the center of my freaking 40K world. Mm-hmm. But what really does it for you, either in the 40K universe or even out of the 40K universe?
So, obviously, Space Marine was a big touchstone for us. We've been very relevant.
Wait, there's a game called Space Marine?
But really, for me, it's more about the tabletop experience and the like creation of like armies and things like that. I play orcs, chaos space marines, and chaos demons, and I enjoy the tabletop quite a bit. Like playing specifically, I'm a lousy painter. I like assembling, building armies, doing the stats, and playing the game. Like, when it came to Eternal Crusade, our real goal was to have the tabletop experience, not the tabletop rules, the tabletop experience, but you are one of those guys.
Nice. Thanks. So what do you think about Scarbrand, like the new Scarbrand model?
I have the new Bloodthirster.
Yeah.
And the new Scarbrand wasn't quite different enough for me to pick up. Like, it's pretty cool, but it looks a lot like the old Bloodthirster.
Gotcha. Okay.
Also, Scarbrand is just going to die if he marches across the table anyway, so...
Oh, you're... but see, that's the thing. Like, I built a Khorne army once upon a time, and what I obsessed about the Khorne army about was... Because there's always a point whenever I play tabletop games, and it doesn't matter whether it's Mercs or Warmer Hordes or 40K or Fantasy or anything, about halfway through the game, the dice turn against me, and I just fail. Like, it doesn't matter if I had numerical superiority beforehand, I just lose. So I got to the point where I build my armies based on what is going to give me the most amount of violence and fun in the first half of the game.
So you play Khorne Demonkin.
I do, because at the I haven't built a Demonkin army because Demonkin didn't exist when I stopped playing.
Yeah.
Because then I ran into Money 40K and Time 40K, and I lose both those games. But so I build armies that have horrific death counts right at the beginning. Yeah. And then I can lose at that point because I've gotten in my violence, and that's why I love, like, in the Grey Knights playing Castle and Crow. So it's like, come at me, I'll murder all of you, but you'll also get awesome chances to murder me. So
that's how the orcs are played for me.
I had a friend of mine. He bought three of the starter boxes with the orcs and all the copters and all, and I got sick of seeing orcs because he would literally bring an entire He almost bought a 55, like one of those 30-gallon totes for his orcs.
He's got a green tie.
We would tell him, we would just let him set up first because I needed to go across the street to Sonic to buy food. It was one of those armies. Yeah. So I have this question, and it's a burning question. I need to know the answer from both of you. Do you have any convention plans for 2016 as Eternal Crusade? Because I know y'all are starting to ramp up your presence in different things and getting people to stream and whatnot.
Yes, we're definitely wanting to, but we can't comment on any specifics just yet.
Good. Well, it's fine. Yeah. We're wanting to is definitely a valid answer.
Absolutely. It's always end up being last minute.
Everything's in pre-alpha. It's available to change at any time, including convention attendance. It's great. You know?
We'll add that to our work in progress statement.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's always a work in progress. So, so Brent, what do you think's been the biggest victory for the EC team, either as a, you know, just for the team as a whole?
Yeah. So I can tell you that definitely the thing that people, like, overall were most excited about and happy about was basically when we released the initial closed alpha, and people really, really seemed to like it. And that was fantastic. That made everybody super happy. That was basically our biggest victory, especially because, like, the game is also just a lot more fun out in the hands of the players. Like, it's always more difficult to play internally because, of course, A, we aren't as good, but B, we're often, like, people are sort of, like, dropping in due to being at work and finishing off whatever things they're doing. So, like, having it out in the context with the community makes the game better, much better than playing it internally. So that's fantastic. Personally, on the design side, the thing that we're most proud of is probably, even though it's still technically a work in progress, the cover system was one of the biggest innovations that we've had to do in the game, having a non-sticky cover system that works with a PC controller, right. And that sort of, like, can apply anywhere. And so we are really happy with how that turns out. And of course, there's bugs every week, and we still need to do some wrangling on the geometry and the levels to really emphasize it better. But the system itself and the use of the camera in it is something that we have been super happy about, because it's not something that we had a good template to work from. We were really doing it from scratch.
Gotcha. So, so for both of you, like, what's been your biggest personal victory story, either in EC or out of EC? Like, was there a, there was this one time I was, like, totally swamped up by a bunch of guys, and all I had was my combat knife.
Oh.
Like, was there one of those stories?
Oh, man. I mean, this is totally breaking, but I'm going to do it anyway. Every time I play, there's, like, this great opportunity where there's a bunch of Space Marines all together, and I've either, like, killed half of them, or their buddies are coming in to help them, and I just chuck in some grenades, and I'm just like, see ya. Always great fun. That never gets old, ever.
Well,
I think my greatest fail, though, since we're doing victory, we should fail in there. I had spawned a rhino to pick up everyone, and as I was leaving, I ran over all of them by accident.
Yes! That is always the best.
I think that might have happened on Twitch, actually.
Yeah. I think one of my greatest runs was actually on Twitch, when I was playing with the bolt gun, and I was just slaughtering people in the processing plant, like, really dominating on D and C, and, like, picking my way through, doing headshots, etc. Maybe I had, like, a better ping than everybody else or something. But that day I was on fire.
Actually, I thought of another one. Huma and I were on the same team, and he was the sorcerer, and I, of course, was tactical. And we were just staying together the whole time, and we just, like, wiped out 20 people before we eventually died. It was, like, a perfect combo, so we were on a rampage for a while.
So I have a side question. It's a little off script, but I want to. Is it perfectly okay in this context with our interview for me to gush over the sorcerer? Because
go for it.
In case you haven't noticed by listening to the podcast, I am in rabid Slaanesh like lust with the sorcerer. I love it. The only thing I'm missing is warp lightning, but that's just and I know that's, you know, that'll happen when it happens, and I'm perfectly cool with that. But, like, I'm in lust with the sorcerer, especially when I've got, say, I'm locked onto a person and I'm healing, and he rounds a corner, and I watch the psychic effect go over the terrain to stay locked onto him. Like, the first time that did that, like, I could have, I mean, it sounds kind of morbid, but I could have died right there, a happy person. Because I was like, what? It does that? Oh my gosh! I was so happy.
Yeah, the sorcerer coming in was actually a big turning point for the feel of the game, because prior to that, it was all, you know, it was all military stuff, right? Like, the typical stuff that you normally see when you look on a box of 40K as an outsider. But the sorcerer finally added that, like, mystical, fantastical element.
Right.
And just, like, that's what really separates EC from a lot of the other sort of team-based shooters is that, you know, it's this military, you know, sci-fi sort of game, but, well, just like the 40K universe, it has this dark, fantastical, magical, sort of sinister element.
Right.
And you really feel that with the gameplay of the sorcerer.
Nice.
And when you're playing against the sorcerer as well.
Right. So, let's see. So regarding, I want to pull back a little bit here, but regarding gaming as a whole, like, where do you see the industry heading in the next few years? Because there's been, like, I'm a huge Blizzard fan, and Blizzard seems to have made the shift to esport as their primary dominating direction, at least for this year or the next couple of years. And, you know, a lot of Switch has gone over to the open world. I know that, you know, Eternal Crusade has talked about open world versus open map and all this other stuff. So, like, where do you guys see the gaming industry as a whole headed in the next couple of years?
Well, definitely the trend seems to be open world right now. Open world, getting more players into the game. There's a lot of tech being developed for that right now, and I mean, we've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
For our game. But it seems like they're trying to push the tech more now, so you'll be able to get more people in, which will be super cool. But yeah, open worlds, it still seems to be trending for sure.
I do think that the current style of open world will probably go on the decline because they're starting to have some high-profile disappointments just by using the exact same formula. I think that there's going to need to be more of a shift in the open world towards something that's either basically a deeper experience or one that's more surprising. Like, a lot of the problem with a lot of open world games these days are that what you get in the first hour is what you're going to get every hour after that. And so, like, it's focused on delivering exactly what the player expects at any given moment, and I think it's going to need to change from that if it's going to remain a viable style of gaming. But I love open worlds, like, ever since, like, Ultima, like, back in the day. Like, the potential for open worlds is massive. It's really just a matter of, you know, keeping people believing in the open world as you're playing in it.
Right. Okay.
I think also games, I mean, back in the day were a lot more difficult, and they started to get easier, and starting to see with some of the games that I play, they're switching back to it being harder. So I think gamers today are also looking for more of a challenge. They made it kind of too easy, more leaning towards, I guess, casual gamers. So
yeah.
Seeing a lot of games trying to go back to being more difficult, which is cool.
There's actually, I think, sort of a little of a mistake in thinking that the casual gamers are the ones who just want things to be easy. Like, a lot of casual gamers don't want it to be easy. They just want to be able to understand. So, like, I've seen games like Super Meat Boy basically be played and loved by casuals despite being unbelievably difficult. But I think it was just a certain period of time in the industry where they really thought that, like, the way the game should be is more like films, where, like, you have an unbroken experience throughout the whole thing, and therefore it's easy. So, weirdly, it was, like, the hardcore gamers who were getting, like, the easiest games. But now, yeah, definitely realizing that there is value in challenge and that it does improve the experience.
Yep.
Games like Dark Souls and stuff like that are showing that it's totally valid.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's something that I've liked about, like, one of my big things is I'm an Assassin's Creed nerd.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, just before we were started, I was running rooftops and killing Templars.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's tremendous. Okay, that's what I thought.
Say what?
Templars, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like Black Templars?
No, I don't kill Black Templars because
no,
they saved my chapter. I can't complain about them. And, you know, they're brothers, and they voted for the fifth faction, the right fifth faction, too, so I can't say anything. But no, like, I like the fact that it's always been odd to me that it's almost like you need to strike a balance because, you know, obviously the average age of gamers have increased because, you know, people my age or, you know, we grew up on video games, now we're older, and it's always struck me as weird, like, because I'm what I like to call a submarine gamer. Like, I'll get in and I will go for 8 hours if I've got free time. Whereas the kid, you know, the people in my family, they'll play for maybe 45 minutes to an hour, and then they'll get up and we'll walk away and go do something different. And it's weird to strike that balance because, like, we all like Assassin's Creed because, first off, yes, it's formulaic. Run across rooftops, jump, stab, move on. But, you know, there's still enough gameplay there that, you know, you're still progressing even though for the hour or whatever you sat down, you're doing the exact same thing you've always been doing, which is just murder-facing people on the street, you know? So, at any rate, let's see. I'm just trying to think of... Oh, yeah, yeah, I got a question from the community, and I feel the need to ask this. So what was the deal with Jasper's Halloween costume?
Yeah, I was curious about
this. This was a burning...
Well, this makes me so sad, though, because he didn't have one this year.
Okay, well, you have to understand, we are in the grim darkness of the far future, so we ask the hard questions.
Yes. I did go looking, trying to find him something fun, but it was all way too big for him, so I think maybe next year I might have to make him something.
Did you Google bird parrot costumes?
I actually didn't. No,
well, you probably find like sexy devil.
Don't tell Jasper though.
See,
he might be disappointed.
You didn't rely on the internet, which is the sum total of all truth. Come on.
Yes. But he did have pumpkin for the first time, so that was
nice.
Pretty
cool. Okay.
Like him a tiny pumpkin pie.
Uh-huh. No, I gave him the whole pumpkin to eat.
Nice.
Still alive?
Yes, he's still alive.
So, kind of hitting the end of what we had here. So, is there anything that you guys want to add, or any secrets you want to drop on us? Because this is, you know, obviously, you know, we're interviewing about a game that's still kind of tight-lipped, and we're still, you know, a lot of us are still under NDA, so we can't talk about anything. So, but as an interviewer, I have to ask, you know, is there anything you want to tell us? Anything? So, I mean, is there anything you guys want to add, or anything?
Friends
you wanna...
is the best one for giving secrets.
Secrets.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I miss the End of the Warps where everybody would sit down around the webcam and there's beer all over the place, and then suddenly Miguel would be like, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that." Like, so I look forward to those moments where there's like something that might have said something, you know.
We kind of ended up veiling everything. No. let's see. I can say that like the things that are coming in the immediate future are probably the new power for the sorcerer that should be coming very soon.
Yes, I mean, sorry.
That's like the poison one.
Okay.
And let's see, there's a new map coming very soon.
Okay.
That's in progress right now. We're going to try to push that one as soon as possible.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. We're about to cycle back to the Promethium refinery, right?
Yeah. In fact, that might be patching right now.
Okay.
At least they thought it was going to be patching by now, an hour ago. So we can go check. But things were in good shape.
Okay, that's awesome.
So it's back to the processing plant, but now we have Meltabombs, and there have been some other changes and improvements. The melee system is almost in the revamped melee. Like, there will be some improvements already in this build, but, like, the next patch should be, like, the bam. This is the newest iteration of the melee tuned. Here it is. Try it out. Give us feedback.
Good, because that's one of the things, like, I don't really get a chance to get in often because of the way my work works. But one of the things I try to do, especially since I play Sorcerer as much as I do, is I try to get in that melee and that close combat.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned it this last podcast, even though we didn't really talk for all that long, but like, you know, the Marines never strike me as the melee people. Like, once we get in the striking scorpions and the boys and the banshees, those are going to be, you know, melee's got to work for them, you know? So...
Well, we're going to have the Storm Shield in the very near future as well, and that'll be the Marines' big melee guy.
Nice. Good. I like this plan. So, awesome. Well, that's sort of where we're at this point. I want to thank you guys for taking the time to talk to me and to talk to the community.
No worries.
So, thank you. Oh, awesome. So, So thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing more from you guys. And for those of you listening at home, because sometimes when I'm podcasting, I tend to forget that people are listening after I release it. I tend to forget that people listen to what I say sometimes, so I just say things. But for those of you listening at home, definitely, it's Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right? Is
yes.
Into the Warp? Yeah.
Right.
So Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern, Into the Warp on twitch.tv/40kcrusade. Definitely, you know, if you're listening to this, you probably already knew that, and I'm just giving you random information for no reason. But if you happen to be like, huh, what's this podcast, and you listen to this one, then definitely you know where to look, because 99% of the time we just, you know, tell them what you guys have told us. So, well, it's, you know, I've mentioned it before. It's difficult to do with the NDA because you're like, well, I can't tell you about things, but I can tell you what they told you. So
we're hoping to lift the NDA completely. We're hoping within a month. No promises, but we're hoping.
Well, hey, you know, everything's in pre-alpha, subject to change, et cetera, et cetera. So, awesome. That's good to know. I know you've been looking to line up more streamers, so that's been a cool thing. So,
yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So,
we
like
have five right now, and then we'll probably be adding some more this week.
Nice. Very good. So, yeah. So, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. And for those of you at home, this will be up in just a minute or two. Not that you would have known until now, anyway. But that'd be great. Get to the end of it and be like, wait, they're about to put this up. So, at any rate, thanks for listening. Katie and Brent, thanks for coming in. And, yeah, we'll go from there.
All right. Awesome. Great talking to you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
The Adeptus Terra thanks you for tuning into tonight's broadcast of Vox Arcana, a production of Holosuite Media. Be sure to check our website, iTunes, or Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered Voxcasts and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Vox Arcana. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to voxarcona@gmail.com. Return next week for yet another communique from the Vox Arcona.